Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
So there's three columns that caught my eye last couple of days. One is Rex Hupke's in today's Chicago Tribune. He said, I need your help. I need you to reach out and tell me if things I'm seeing are real, as my ability to distinguish truth from fiction has been tested, stretched to its limits, and my tenuous grasp on reality grows weaker each day. I awoke this weekend to online videos of Americans either throwing coffee-making machines out second-story windows or smashing them with golf clubs. Fans of Fox News host Sean Hannity were angry because the coffee maker company Keurig stopped advertising on his show after he seemed to defend Republican U.S. Senate nominee Roy Moore. Is this really happening? He wrote. And then he goes on to talk a little bit more about it and the people that are now rushing to Roy Moore's defense. He said, I think the cheese may have slid off my cracker.
Well, I hope they're getting their neighbors' Keurig machines because they're expensive.
I know. I'm not exactly sure how I feel about that protest or that means of protesting. All right. Here's Mary Schmeek in Sunday's Tribune. Did you see that? When will all this talk about sexual harassment end? That's the thread here. Via Roy Moore and now Mary Schmeek, who wrote, when will all this end? I mean, the daily public revelation of sexual harassment, the landslide of Me Too's, the nonstop media reports, the anger and confusion of all of this, of all of it has unleashed. When will it stop? A lot of people are wondering, and the answer is easy. Not yet. She mentions Harvey Weinstein, and then she talks about famous actors. She writes a powerful comedian, a judge running for the U.S. Senate, a studio head, a couple of high-profile publishing types, top editor of a radio network, an Illinois legislator, countless lesser-knowns on Facebook. The storm has stirred up a lot of good questions, too, like, and this is, I think, the brilliance of Mary Schmeek's column. She asked the questions that a lot of us are asking, and not all of us have perfect answers to them. Is there a sliding scale of bad behavior from a sexist remark to physical assault? Is every man guilty as charged until proven innocent? That's Roy Moore, by the way. Is every man guilty as charged until proven innocent? Is a single allegation of harassment against a public figure as newsworthy as a well-researched story involving several women's claims? Should there be a statute of limitations on punishing sexual misconduct? And on she goes. And then Heidi Stevens in the Chicago Tribune wrote, he didn't call the women liars, which makes him notable in the long lineup of prominent men accused of sexual misconduct or assault in the last 6 weeks. She's writing about Louis C.K., and she quotes him. These stories are true, he wrote. At the time, I said to myself that what I did was okay because I never showed any women my blank without asking first, which is also true. But what I learned later in life, too late, is that when you have power over another person, asking them to look at your bleep is not a question. It's a predicament for them. A predicament is when, and now Heidi writes, a predicament is when your babysitter cancels at the last minute. Watching a man you hardly know pleasure himself with no idea of what he plans to do next is more like a nightmare. And then she mentions several of the stories that are in play in the news these days and also says this. She's going back to Louis C.K. Louis C.K. said, I have spent my long and lucky career talking and saying anything I want. I will now step back and take a long time to listen. Heidi, you wrote, I hope he does. That's the best bit in his 494 words, none of which, it's worth noting, is sorry. Heidi's back in our studio. How are you?
I'm good.
Good Lord. You know, every day it seems like there's another revelation. I mean, every half day it seems like there's another revelation.
Yeah. We don't go through a news cycle without a new one, do we?
And I guess it begs the question which you and Mary addressed, and that is, why do these people wait so long, and what are we to make of that? That's a fair starting point.
Yeah, I think the best answer to that is Ronan Farrow's New Yorker piece from last week or the week before, where he detailed, you know, just the extent to which Harvey Weinstein went to keep women and journalists silenced. He was enlisting people trained as Israeli spies to dig up dirt on these women, to dig up dirt on journalists, to confuse women, to come up with, you know, dockets of character assassination material. Not everybody has that in their playbook. Not every predator does. Not every guy accused of sleazy behavior does. But people who abuse their power are usually pretty good at finding ways to hold on to it. And so women know that. Women who are up against this kind of behavior in the workplace especially know what's on the line if they speak up. So, it, you know, it takes some time to find the courage. It takes some time to find the right person to listen to you. I don't think it's a coincidence that we have more women writing and editing now than we did, you know, maybe in the 60s and 70s when this behavior would have found no audience.
Well, your colleague Mary Schmeek says that also, if you say, OK, I want to tell this story, it's shining a light on you that you didn't want to begin with.
Right.
And it sexualizes you. It says, can you imagine that man wanting to do that with me? You know, and it. Which is not a comment on you, but it sexualizes, I believe that was her word, you as a person. It makes you a sexual object and something for consideration that way. And
at
that
work.
Is the last thing you want.
Yeah, at work.
So maybe you just don't want to deal with it anymore. And so I suppose there's this powder keg of women and some men in the world who have just been sitting on this, sitting on this, sitting on this. And now one by one, they're saying, OK, now's the time. Now's the time. I finally got to say something.
Right. And in the case of Roy Moore's accusers, I mean, now he's running for U.S. Senate. So, I think there are situations where you say enough is enough. You know, I got to put a stop to this guy. Diana Nyad, you know, wrote her op-ed in The New York Times last week about being repeatedly assaulted by her high school swim coach. And, you know, it took her until age 21 to tell someone. It started, the assaults started when she was 14. You know, she and her friend who experienced the same assaults by the same coach went and told a principal. They fired him. He went and found a job coaching a different group of young women.
You saw the Roy Moore denial, right?
Right.
I'm curious as to what your reaction to that was in just a minute, because the guy was unequivocal. Maybe he wasn't persuasive, but he was as persuasive as I think he could physically or verbally be. So what, you know, what do we do with that as we see this sort of story unfold in a minute? It's 1:48. This is WGN. Back to you, Heidi Stevens. We've been talking a little bit about Roy Moore, about all of them. But I said, when you see Roy Moore defend himself so strenuously, what are you seeing?
Well, I find him harder to believe than the women. I can't conjure any reason for these women to make up these stories. I can't imagine what good that would bring into their lives. I can't imagine that every one of those 30 interviews the Washington Post did was with someone who's lying. Then the New Yorker, you know, as you probably read, went down to the mall and walked around and found even more people saying, oh, yeah, you know, worst kept secret in town.
Yeah, I don't love that storyline relative to this, that he may or may not have been banned from the mall because as a young adult male in his 30s or 40s, he's prowling the mall for teenage girls. That strikes me as being very anecdotal.
Very anecdotal. At the same time, does definitely paint a picture of a guy who seems less than believable when he denies all of these multiple allegations from multiple people and their mothers and everyone in the town. And again, back to the core question, why? Why would these women lie? Your original question, why did they wait so long to come forward? Well, now he's running for Senate. And that was where I was going with the Diana Nyad thing. You know, at some point you start to say, I got to stop this before it affects more and more and more girls and women's lives. And I think that makes sense to me. I waited and now I can't wait anymore.
Did you watch Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill testify years ago?
I watched the I'm young.
You're a lot younger than I am. And I,
but
I'm a lot older than you.
I watched the HBO movie.
Okay. When you watch that, I think a lot of us ping pong. She was so good. And then he'd come back out and he was amazing. And then she was convincing. And then he was outraged and appropriately indignant. We didn't know. And my fallback on stories like this is But why would she be putting, and this isn't, I don't know that this is a reason to send a man to jail, but the compelling question for me was, why would she be putting any of them, let alone her, through this, unless it was true?
Right.
Okay, but then why are they destroying Keurig coffee machines?
Well.
Why is Sean Hannity, why are Christians in Alabama taking that side?
Well, because in my mind, this is the... this is being received as the Washington elite coming into town and telling me how to run my business, not my, you know, my mom and pop owned business, my life. This is elites in Washington who don't get how we do it, telling us how to do it. That's how this story is being received.
Well, the man hasn't been convicted.
He hasn't been, well, he hasn't even been charged.
I mean, right.
This is a question of, does someone who would hit on a 14-year-old at age 32 have the sort of judgment to represent your state in the U.S. Senate? That's the question. Not should he go to jail or not.
You understand I'm completely with you on this,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm just clarifying.
I know that. But I know that. But then here's just what they say. Well, let's look at his body of work. Twice, Supreme Court of that state, a man who has passed the muster in his professional life and has been selected by the people in his state to represent them in the United States Senate. You're asking about judgment. They've judged him.
Right. But many of his defenders have also said, even if he did it, would it really be that bad? I mean, Mary and Joseph did it, and they raised Jesus. I mean, they're coming up with examples of other large age gaps in a way to excuse that situation if it were true. If it were true, look at so-and-so.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you brought up Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah,
and I know the answer to that. She was of age, and it was consensual, right? Is that the answer to
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Ann Coulter brought up John F. Kennedy, you know, had an affair with a 19-year-old. I mean, this is her claim. I didn't look it up. I'm just saying that was what she tweeted. So the situation is that people who are defending him are saying, yeah, maybe we did sit in judgment of his judgment, and we decided that was okay judgment with us. So that's the question for Alabama voters right now. If this 32-year-old slept with a 14-year-old, you know, you should probably know that. Or didn't sleep with a 14-year-old, but had relations with a 14-year-old and an 18-year-old and, you know, all these other women. Wouldn't you want to know about that as a voter so you could decide that?
I'm going to ask Thomas Jefferson that question when I talk to him on stage December 2nd. I'm going to ask Thomas Jefferson that question when I ask him when I see him.
How are you going to swing that?
I do an annual show with Thomas Jefferson. He comes onto stage, and the business of the personal life versus the professional performance of famous people, politicians, always comes up. He has a history in this area as well. And I know what he's going to say. He's going to say those should be segregated. That sounds trivial and silly the way I'm presenting it now, but I know that that is playing in the back of people's minds, even in Alabama.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about this. It's icky. I don't want to think about it, and I don't want to believe the liberal elite media.
Right.
But I do like this guy, and he seemed to be doing good for us down here.
Oh, sure. Well, it's not so different from, you know, Woody Allen continuing to make movies, or Mel Gibson being cast in Daddy's Home 2, or whatever the heck it's called. And, I mean, you know, we have examples of that in all over pop culture. I don't like what he did, but I like his art. I like his accomplishments.
Read Heidi Stevens in the Chicago Tribune. And please come down and join us again in the studio.
Anytime.
Really? Will you come back
Sure.
again? I hate these conversations I've been having with you lately.
They're important, though.
They are. And the fact that I play the devil's advocate is a reason I like it even less.